What's up, gang? Welcome back to Podmon Horizons. This week we're talking about episodes 10 through 12, finishing up the first part of the story. Sorry that we missed last week, but honestly, I'm probably going to keep that kind of every other week schedule, just so I'm not overwhelmed with having to rewatch the show and record and edit and everything on top of all the other things going on. Hopefully we'll have some more Podmon adventure for you here soon, but we'll see. But anyway, so yeah, there's really not much to discuss with you at this moment. So let's just get into episode 10. So Liko and Roy are walking around Artisan, admiring all of the grass Pokemon, the Sunflora, the Smoliv, and all those things. When they find a Sunflora statue by none other than Brassius. So after asking around town about the Black Rayquaza and everything, they stumble upon the one and only Nimona mid-battle. Nimona is, like, just entirely on brand. Like, just single-minded. A good accurate representation of her character from the games, but it helps that she actually has a character in Scarlet and Violet. But anyway, she leads them to Brassius' studio and tells them about Brassius' hiatus from the gym and how the local kids are gathering Sunflora to bring him back. And I love how they incorporate the gym challenges. You know, it's a very different story, this, from Scarlet and Violet, but I think there's a good, like, synchronicity of the show being its own thing and the games being their own thing, but there's enough, like, narrative little things in the show, or in the games, both with characters and, like, world-building things, like the gym challenges, that it's a nice synchronicity or whatever. But anyway, meet Brassius, and Brassius is a lot. He is a classic artistic prima donna. And his Dolive is being a little moody, but Sprigatito uses sweet scent and calms it down. Anyway, Roy asks about the Black Rayquaza, and Brassius storms off. They're wondering why. But Liko spots a busted Black Rayquaza statue and says that Brassius might be in a slump. And, oh my God, Roy is such a dumbass, I swear to God. This kid goes, a slump? What's that? Some kind of Pokemon? Like, oh my God, kid. No. Good. Anyway, I love Roy, but God, he's such an idiot sometimes. So they decide to gather Sunflora themselves to cheer him up. They all find a few of them, and then Liko kind of realizes that, oh yeah, Sprigatito loves to lay in the sun, and Sunflora symbolizes the sun, so basically she exploits Sprigatito's love to lounge in the sun to just find a shit ton of Sunflora. But Brassius is still being melodramatic. He shows them his Black Rayquaza statue and tells them how he saw one the other day. And he just, it was so overwhelming that he feels inadequate trying to create art after seeing such a, you know, like, a majestic moment in nature or whatever. Liko is empathetic to this, but Roy has absolutely zero awareness of his surroundings and just freaks out about the fact that he saw a Rayquaza. Like, that's not the point, kid, but anyway. Brassius challenges Roy to a battle. Brassius brings out Sudowoodo, who Roy mistakenly thinks is a grass type. So that doesn't go well, and Fuecoco is getting flustered, but luckily his stomping tantrum is a literal move, so, you know. But Brassius terrestrializes Sudowoodo. This does give Fuecoco the type advantage, but he still gets taken out. And then before they leave, Brassius shows them a statue of Arbeliva where he saw the Black Rayquaza. So that's pretty much it. Like, well, and then there's a cool thing with Liko, where afterwards on the ship, she's telling Roy that she could feel the statue's pain, or feel Arbeliba's pain through the statue. And it'll be important later on in the show. But yeah, that's basically the first episode. Like I said, not a lot really interesting going on. Like, it's a good episode. But it's not kind of singular focused. It's pretty much entirely on the kids, and it's cool to see Nimona though. Like, that was cool to give her a little cameo in the show. But yeah, so that's the first episode. So let's go on to episode 11. So Liko is lurking outside of Dot's room, and she finally gets up the nerve to ask her about the Needle Thing suit. And so Dot is about to confess, but before she can, Liko just jumps to the conclusion that Dot is actually just a hardcore Needle Thing fan. And I love this running bit, because it, like, Dot is trying to connect and with Liko, and like be honest about this, but Liko is just entirely oblivious to it, and it's just a great little gag. So the kids are going to the forest to try to find Arbeliva and find some clues about the Black Rayquaza, and Molly decides to tag along with them. And in the forest, they see just absolute ruins from a fire. Roy runs off and says that he'll meet them at the big tree in the middle of the forest. Meanwhile, Reed and Murdoch are staring at their phones on the ship, waiting for responses from Liko's mom and the kids, respectively. Back in the forest, Molly and Liko have a heart-to-heart, and Molly tells Liko about her background. It turns out that she's a Joy who didn't want to work at a Pokemon Center, but wanted to help other Pokemon who couldn't make it to Pokemon Centers, like wild Pokemon, which is cool. Like, you kind of figure, you know, given the pink hair and the Chansey and her being like the team nurse or whatever, but it's cool that they're kind of playing with that. Again, this thing I like about this show is playing with like established tropes from the original series. We have all the Joys and all the different towns. Well, what happens to a Joy that doesn't want to work at a Pokemon Center? And also raises like some interesting questions, like, is Nurse Joy a title? Like, is that not actually their name? But if you work at a Pokemon, like, it's a family business, and if you work at a Pokemon Center, you're like, the title of Nurse Joy is conferred on you or whatever. But anyway, no time to worry about that right now. So Molly compliments Liko on her bravery to, you know, decide that she wants to go on adventure and to, like, tell her dad that and to actually go off on adventure. And Liko takes it in pure Liko fashion. Like, she cannot take a compliment with any level of chill. Sprigatito finds some orange berries, so she and Liko go off to pick some more, and they get lost. So they head to the big tree. Roy and Fuecoco are already there, and they, of course, try to climb it. Roy sees an ancient Pokeball in the tree. Meanwhile, Molly is getting impatient, and there's no reception, so she heads off to the tree. Liko is wandering through another patch of fiery ruin when she finds an injured Wooper. She tries to moisten it and feed it some orange berries, but she's attacked by wild Pokemon who take the Wooper, and she chases them right to the tree. She tries to tell them that she's just trying to help Wooper, but they won't hear it. Luckily, Molly shows up and treats the Whooper, and oh yeah, the tree in question is actually Arbeliva. So, it attacks them. Molly is trying to treat the Whooper, so it's up to the kids to fight Arbeliva. Roy's dumbass is about to have Huecoco use Ember, but Liko stops him before he starts another fucking fire. So Huecoco uses Stomping Tantrum while Sprigatito hits it with Quick Attacks and Leafage, and they knock it down. Arbeliva is about to fall on Huecoco, but Sprigatito knocks him out of the way. Because, like, two peas in a stupid pod, these two, I swear to God. Huecoco is just as absent-minded and, well, just dumb as Roy. And is adorable and is like and is lovable, but man. Arbeliva is about to just straight up murder them, but Whooper stops them, and you know, Molly tries to tell Arbeliva that they're all just trying to help Whooper and there's no need to be so fucking hostile and shit. And so Arbeliva shows Liko and Roy the forest, and it's more fucked up than they thought. And that's the episode. It's you know, it's a very hard cut cliffhanger. This one's very much a kind of two-parter. So let's get to part two, also known as episode 12. After seeing the extent of the damage, they try to help bring back the forest. Liko and Sprigatito pick berries while Roy and Huecoco work up the ground so they can plant the seeds. That's honestly a lot of the first part of the episode is all of that. But they've got a lot of seeds, but they still need some water. Back at the ship, Dot is editing a needle thing video when she notices that the reception is fucked up. So she tells Murdoch about it, and Freed goes off to find the kids. On their way, Cap spots a Magneton just outside the ship who is responsible for said fucking up of reception. So they take him down, and that clears things up. So Liko can finally get through, and she tells them that about the fire, and they need water. So Freed brings Orla and the old man. He uses his Quagsire's rain dance to make it rain, and plants start to sprout, and everything is going to be okay. And then Liko's pendant glows again, and out comes a cute little turtle Pokemon. And Liko and Roy are in the, you know, the little field thing that happens when this happens. But it's kind of like brown and dusty and all of that. And they see a figure, they see a dude, kind of shadowy and silhouetted and all that, and he's telling someone or something to go out and find it, whatever that means. Mysteries. Arbeliva goes back in its Pokeball, and Liko takes it with her, and they head back to the ship while one of the explorers watches from a camera, like on a little monitor thing. I can't remember his name, but we'll find out in the next few episodes, I'm sure. But anyway, Freed is at the library researching the pendant when Liko's mom finds him. Meanwhile, Liko gives Roy the picture books that her dad sent him, and he freaks out when he finds the book about the ancient adventurer, which his grandpa had read to him when he was a kid. And Liko's mom tells Freed the same story, basically. There's an ancient adventurer who had a Black Rayquaza and an Arbeliva and four other Pokemon who are known as the Six Heroes of Lucius. And he was just an ancient Pokemon trainer who went on adventures with these Pokemon and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Freed asks, but Liko's mom doesn't know anything about the pendant. And she tells him to go ask Liko's grandma. Liko calls her dad and asks about the book, but he says it's all just fiction. Which I love how Liko's he tells her that it's made up, and Liko goes, "So it's a lie." And he's like, "Well, it's not a lie. It's necessarily it's fiction." Like Liko is so just like autistic coded that it's great. I love her. I still love Liko. Like she's changed, she's grown, but she's still like awkward and just doesn't like she needs things straight and honest. Like the concept of even dishonesty in fiction is kind of like she gets it, but it's like she's just great. I love her. She's the best. Love that girl. But anyway, okay, so speaking of Liko's parents, I like Liko's mom. Like, she's cool, but God, her parents just kind of suck at parenting. Because, like, her dad is, well, her dad, like, as she said, they're not very close. He's not good at communicating. And her mom, Fried, is like, well, aren't you going to, like, talk to your daughter while we're here? He's like, nah, I was going to take that pendant from her, but, I'm good. So, no, I don't really need to talk to my daughter. It's cool. Like, good God, man. But anyway, now we have our heading for our next adventure. We are off to find the other four heroes of Lucius. And so Fried asks Liko where she wants to go next, and she decides that they should go meet her grandma in a castle in the Galar region. And so we're heading off to Galar to find Liko's grandma, and the explorer dude is again being a creep and all of that. So, and that's where we leave off this episode and leave off this arc, basically. We've got our, at least for now, we've got our main characters set up. We still have more with Dot, but we'll get that in the coming weeks. Bring her actually onto the team and everything, and you know that's a good time. So yeah, that's this episode. I'm sorry this one's a bit short, but they're like these episodes are good. I enjoy them, but they're basically like they're kind of like especially the last two, really. The first one really just serves the purpose of, like, setting up the whole Arbeliva thing. Because nothing else really important happens in that episode as far as, like, progressing the plot forward. The only really important thing happens at the end when they see the Arbeliva statue and Brassius tells them that he saw the Black Rayquaza when he was in the forest where Arbeliva was. But the last two episodes are really kind of a two-parter, and it's really just like it could be condensed down into one episode. There's basically an episode's worth of information and movement, but they let it breathe a little bit, which is nice. Like it's refreshing to not feel rushed, but it also means there's not as much to talk about here without feeling like I'm repeating myself. So that's this, and probably in a couple weeks, I'll be back with the first part of the next arc, which, has come out now on Netflix, so if you haven't yet, go ahead and watch that so we're all on the same page here. And, what happens next? Ooh, going on a picnic next time. That's fun. But anyway, so thank you for listening. And, you know, like, subscribe, follow, whatever you do to podcasts, wherever you listen to them. And we'll see you the next time that you hear us. Or me, because it's just me here. It's really weird doing this by myself. Anyway, bye.